Hey everyone, it's Ryan here with Cardinal Aviation. Welcome to episode number 39 of the Audio Briefings. Thanks for joining us. Really happy to have you here. Today we are going to be talking networking in the pilot job hunt. And this episode is going to be brought to you by flightcrew.ca. And flightcrew.ca is a website that Cardinal Aviation has created. It's Owen and I are working on that, and it is a place for pilots that are looking for work to drop their resume so that we can work with operators to pair operators with pilots that meet their criteria and will really fit within their organization. So COVID has obviously really impacted our industry, and there's a lot of pilots that are out of work that are looking for work right now. And we wanted to talk networking because really at the end of the day, the last 7 or 8 years have been, quite frankly, pretty easy for pilots. They get a license, they find a job, they advance their career. They're getting to where they wanted to go without a lot of hurdles or roadblocks. Not to say they haven't had to work hard for it, but there hasn't been a lot standing in the way. And if we rewind, 15 years or so when Owen and I got into this business, networking was key. Because everybody had 200 hours or 1,000 hours. Everybody was the same. And really, instead of selling your experience, there comes a point where you need to sell yourself. And part of that is in networking and building relationships. So I've got Cardinal Aviation coach and consultant Owen Stacey with me today. This is going to be the first of probably a series of podcasts that we do on pilot jobs, on resumes, on networking. And Owen is a chief pilot of a corporate flight department out here on the West Coast. So he's no stranger to resumes and pilots on the job hunt. He has been that pilot on the job hunt during difficult industry times, as have I. So we are going to talk to you straight up, the straight goods, on some tips, tricks, and stories from our careers when it comes to effective networking, when it comes to finding a pilot job. So without any further delay, I'll cut straight to our conversation with Owen, and you'll probably hear his dog Pepper in there as well. Okay, so I've got Owen Stacey here, and Owen Stacey is a, he's a Cardinal Aviation coach and pilot, Cardinal Aviation consultant, and I'll let him introduce himself, but I've known Owen for about 17 years, on and off, just through the airport and circles of acquaintances and colleagues and friends. And after that 17 years, we've kind of come together and we're working together now with Cardinal Aviation and also working on this flightcrew.ca thing that we've been talking about. But I will just kick it over to Owen and let Owen kind of introduce himself so you can kind of get to know his background and where we're coming from with today's episode.
Well, Ryan, thanks a lot for having me on the podcast tonight. I've been with Cardinal now, just under a year. We've had a few projects together. Right now I've been in aviation just over 25 years, right now flying corporate and charter and, Victoria and flying all over the world, flying Challengers and Honda jets and, keeping very busy. And, in doing the chief pilot position where I'm at right now, seeing a lot of, changes with this COVID. So that's one reason why we wanted to put this podcast on tonight.
For sure. And you said 25 years. So I'm 20, you're 25 years, which means I started just after 9/11 and you must have started just before. So
correct.
We're seeing a big industry downturn right now with COVID and a lot of unemployed pilots. I entered the industry as that was kind of like on the bottom, starting to work its way back up, but it was a slow work up. You entered at the top and witnessed the crash, for lack of better terms, with 9/11 with your career. So what was that like for you and kind of what was your kind of journey?
It was pretty defeating when it happened because I actually remember the morning waking up when 9/11 happened, and that was a horrible event, as we all know, and we're not going to discuss that. But I actually remember that afternoon thinking that I may have to change careers at that time. And I had invested a lot of time in aviation at that time. And flying to me, like yourself, it was a passion, and that's what I wanted to do. So I stuck it out. It was not easy. I spent a lot of time on docks, pumping floats, throwing bags, working up in the Arctic for first air, being a loadmaster, throwing bags. I did that for a lot longer than a lot of the younger generation now that are flight school and getting a job pretty well the second they finish their commercial pilot's license. So it's completely a 180 from what you and I did back in the late 90s, early 2000s.
Yeah, and I didn't think we'd see that again. I mean, again, we've talked about this on previous episodes. I want to get into it and some questions we've been getting and some emails we've been getting, but we've talked about this before where has been relatively easy the last, I don't know what number you put on it, 7 or 8 years. You get your license, you go, you know, maybe have to do some groundwork for 6 months, but you're going to find a job within a year for sure. Correct. And I think for people that came into it like you and I did, it's really easy to resent the people that are coming in, getting the job. They're within 3 years, sitting right seat at Air Canada on the Airbus or the Boeing or whatever it is. And we can sit here and be like, man, like, I wonder what it would have been like if it was like that for us. But at the same time, we got some really interesting and varied experience. And that's, you know, we're looking at resumes coming in with flightcrew.ca. And there's kind of this balance of quantity of time versus quality of time.
Yeah, there is. It's a complete 180 from what we saw when we started out in the industry to now. There seems to be a lot of professional pilots out there that are just starting out that don't have any experience out of the gate, whether it's baggage, customer service agent, a ramp attendant. There doesn't seem to be that anymore, because it seems like you were just saying there seems to be this gap now where as soon as you get out of aviation, there's this 3 to 6 months of maybe working on the ramp or doing something, up north, or maybe flying skydivers. And then next thing you know, you got a job with WestJet Encore or Jazz, or if you're lucky, Air Canada, because they're up until recently, there was a very large shortage.
I want to get to what we wanted to talk about today, and that is networking. So I've received several emails the last couple of days, and I'm going to read this one word for word, and then we can maybe discuss a little bit. And it's from a gentleman, and he says, well, I guess I'm just sort of lost. I've got 1100 hours total time, all 703 experience in a Navajo up north with my ATPL exams written. It felt more than adequate only a few months ago to work here on the West Coast with 1100 hours. Now I feel a bit trapped outside the industry. I've reached out to almost every Navajo operator with a commercial AOC, including my past employer, with no luck. Obviously the timing of what is happening is playing into that. So now I feel like I have to find a plan B. It's a long story short. I'm just trying to figure out how to move forward. So I think there's a lot of people in his shoes that, you know, got a license with the promise of this is the best time to get into aviation. That's what you're telling everyone. This is the best time to get in. And now they feel, I don't know, maybe shortchanged, or they got the short end of the stick, or they've been so led on by this is the best time, they don't know what to do. So I just wanted to discuss that, and maybe we could start with, you know, well, you've got 1100 hours total time, and what are your options with that, and how to move forward.
He's got a great amount of time prior to COVID, and what I mean by that is all of a sudden there seems to be a huge pilot shortage where a major airline was short 800 pilots as of February 2020 to all of a sudden being, 2,500 pilots too heavy and laying guys off. As you know, I've interviewed in the last month or two here for a position, which I myself was surprised came up during COVID, and got a tremendous amount of resumes from people that were 200 hours all the way up to 15, 16, 18,000 hours. People fresh out of flight school to people that were flying in Asia and have heavy time looking for a jet job, flying something small. So the industry has definitely changed. And the gentleman's whose email that you read, he's not alone. There's a lot of people in his shoes right now that are sort of wondering what to do. It's definitely on everyone's minds. I have a friend of mine whose son is going to flight school right now. and was completely excited about it. And he's been, it's been his dream. And now he's sort of in a holding pattern, not to throw any puns in there, but he is, he doesn't know what to do.
With no expect further clearance time.
Yeah, exactly. He's going to run out of fuel before he figures out what he's going to do. So I'm not sure.
Well, but I mean, speaking of running out of fuel, I mean, I think this is also going to be a really interesting time, and I think we'll come out stronger for it after, in that there's probably a lot of people who got the license and got into the job thinking, well, that's a cool job, but without the real passion for aviation. And I've heard a lot of operators and, you know, chief pilots say that lately, where they go, well, okay, well, we got pilots, but we're really not seeing that, that passion and that drive, where this is all I'm ever going to do because I absolutely love it. And I think when things like this happen in the industry, we'll see the people that weren't truly passionate about it probably go do something else. Yeah. And what will be left over with are the people that really, really wanted it. They'll stick with it. But I think this is going to weed out a lot of the people who are just in it because it's a cool job. Or
I agree. I remember when I first started flying, a friend of mine's dad, who was old school Air Canada, said to me, Owen, the only way you're going to survive in aviation is this. Treat aviation like it's your hobby and have fun with it, but always have a side gig that's going to be your backup and your full-time job. People say, well, how can you do that? Well, if you're only working 12, 15 days a month, you need to be creative, whether it's, and we're going to talk about this, networking on the side, doing something else outside of aviation. I know guys that are in construction. I know guys that that are financial planners. You need to have a side hustle and use aviation as a, it's a fantastic job. I honestly wouldn't trade it for the world. You and I've talked about this before, just over drinks many years ago. Love flying, but it's a very volatile business, and it has its ups and downs. I've been through two companies now that have flourished and done extremely well, and then bankrupt. And you're calling the guys you're flying with saying, get down to the plane and come grab your gear out of it because the company's done. So this COVID is just another aspect of that downturn in aviation, which is unfortunate, but this is completely different to what anyone's ever dealt with.
And I think there's going to have to be a lot of ego checking at the door. Cause I mean, like you said, 1100 hours was a lot before COVID. And now, unfortunately, you can't sell yourself on time. You're going to have to sell yourself on who you are. And I think that art of networking, that, the reevaluation of what you're worth is going to be difficult for some people. I mean, let's talk about Blake for a second.
Yeah.
I mean, Blake's another Cardinal Aviation coach. And he's been with us for about 8 months. He's done some fantastic work, and he is an Airbus 330 and 320 FO with a major Canadian airline, and he is laid off. And there's a good chance that he will not be called back in the next 2 to 3 years. And Blake so very easily could be holed up in his place in Toronto, feeling sorry for himself, looking for the next gig, the next opportunity, and refusing to settle for nothing less than sitting in a big jet flying. But instead, what he did within a couple weeks is he goes, you know what? I'm not going to sit here and feel sorry for myself. I need to be productive. I need to move on. And he's now working 3,300 feet, not in the air, 3,300 feet underground in a mine in Saskatchewan, manning a conveyor belt.
Which is amazing.
You got an amazing. I mean, and this is kind of a lesson for the people that are out there in this person's shoes that, you know, 1100 hours out of time. I can only imagine, I mean, Owen, you're, you know, a chief pilot in an operation there. When you look at a resume and you see such a year to such a year, Airbus 330, 320 FO, you know what time COVID hit. And then you see went and worked in a mine. I mean, that's got to, something like that to any operator has to really speak to the character of the person and helps you sell the individual rather than the flight time on the paper.
It's someone's resume like that that's going to stay at the top of the pile rather than someone who didn't do anything with their time. And here's the thing that I think we're going to touch on here with networking as well as this. If you want a job somewhere, it's all great to put a resume in on email. It's great to, if you can get in the office, put a resume on the HR person's desk, or best yet, the chief pilot's desk, and at least meet with them.
You have to get past the dragon lady first.
Exactly.
It's always the dragon lady.
Always the dragon lady. But if you can think outside the box and network and try and build a relationship with that company and see if you can meet some of the guys and gals that are flying there or work in the counter, or working in the office and start a relationship with them, that's how you're going to get known. And that's how you're going to get your jobs and at least meet some people. And that's how you got your Navajo job.
You know, for sure. Yeah. I mean, that was, I started working in high school as a rampy, you know, loading bags and bodies and emptying labs on the Converse for the fishing charters. And, you know, we worked hard and we had fun, but we always, you know, you're always working the angle, getting to know the pilots. But one thing about networking is a two-way street. So you can't be like, "Hi, I'm Ryan. Nice to meet you. Can you give me a job?" You have to have something to offer in return. And it doesn't have to be material. It doesn't have to be financial. You have to, in some way, enrich the other party's life.
Yeah.
Right. And it's not a one-way street. It's just even just the relationship. And you can't meet somebody and be like, "Okay, well, I've networked. Now what can I get out of them a week from now?" Like, these relationships take months and years to build, and you have to nurture them, and you have to not just call people when you want something. Right. And this is what happened, where I would work each summer on the ramp there. And Trev was a Dash 8 captain, but he also had a side business, and he had a small Navajo operation out in Terrace called TKR at the time. And at this time in the industry, and here's the funny thing is, Owen, you know, we manage a Navajo for one of our clients.
Yeah.
I feel like deja vu. I've received like 3 or 4 emails the last week asking if we can do time on the Navajo to renew PPCs and how much people can pay for Navajo time. I didn't think I'd ever see that day again.
Me neither.
One, it's not an option with us, so please don't ask, because that's a managed airplane for a private client. But two, back in the story time with Trev, there was an operator in Vancouver whose name we shall not mention that was selling Navajo training for $8,000, and then you would go work for them for free just to get some time to build up your resume to have an opportunity to get in an airplane. And there was a lot of people who did this, and they were not looked favorably upon, but it was a time where you kind of had to do what you had to do to try and get to the top of the stack. And if that was it, it's what people did. So I had gotten to know Trev over a couple of years working on the ramp, and I bumped into him one day, having not seen him for a while. And he said, "Well, what are you doing?" I said, "Well, I just finished my commercial multi-IFR." And he goes, "Well, I've got a 3-day charter on the Navajo all over BC, and there's going to be, you know, 7 or 8 hours of empty flying as we do repositioning. If you want to come with me on the trip, you know, I'm not going to pay you for it." And I didn't consider that working for free, because I wasn't really licensed or able to fly that airplane anyway, legally. And he goes, "I'm not paying for your hotel, so you can sleep on the floor in my hotel room. But during that 7 or 8 hours of empty flying, we'll do some training, and maybe we can sign off some Navajo training for you." And I jumped at that opportunity. And that opportunity was presented to me because I'd gotten to know him over time. I'd like to think was known for working hard and having the right attitude. And he took that chance on me. And it was because of that training that I did with him on that one trip that probably 2 years later, I was still working on the ground for another 2 years with a commercial license. An opportunity came up, and because I'd done that training, I was given a shot. And that shot was a 4-week contract sitting right seat in a Navajo. And when that contract was up, that company also had Beech 1900s. They said, "Yeah, you know what, your 700 hours is great, but it's not enough time to get into 1900. So come back to us when you've got 1500 hours.
Yeah.
And they basically said, "And by the way, you can find your own way back to Calgary now. So have a nice life." Like, pilots in the last couple of years have been valued. And now for the next little while, I think we're going to have to reevaluate that value. And I'll let you speak to this, Owen, but your value is not going to be necessarily in the flight time or the numbers on your resume. It's going to be in the quality of the individual. And you need to find a way to network and sell yourself, not your experience.
Correct. Because there's a lot of people out there right now. And I feel for every single one of them that don't have a job right now, and they're all in the same position.
How do you stick out?
Well, I'm going to tell you what I did in the beginning, and these are funny stories, but people need to be more creative in this. You know, we're in 2020 now. I'm talking about, you know, early 1990s. I was taping resumes to vodka bottles and sending them to chief pilot. I would make my resume 14 by 11 so it would stand out in the pile, because nothing drives me more crazy than taking a stack of paper and everything doesn't line up. So guess what? I'd pull the one out that was a pain in the butt that was sticking out, and I'm like, "Oh, look at whose resume that is." You got to think outside the box.
I did 14 by 11 at one point. I also did cardstock because if they were flipping through it, it would stop on the cardstock.
Yeah. You got to be creative. Here's the thing. I honestly feel, and this is just my opinion, that we're on a downturn for the next 3 to 5 years. And I think you're right. You previously said there's going to be a lot of people that got into aviation, but it was cool. But I think they're going to have an MBA or some sort of degree behind them that I think they're going to have to fall back onto and do for the next couple of years, because I think it's going to be very tight in aviation for jobs. COVID is not going away. It's only getting worse in the States. I'm touching wood that it doesn't get bad here in Canada on the West Coast. But no one really knows. And that's sort of it's tough. And you touched on it earlier. I think people need to be creative as to what they're going to be doing now the next 3 to 5 years. And you need to network. Network is going to be huge. If your passion is aviation and that's what you've dreamed of as a kid, like a lot of us have done, then you're going to have to be creative in finding a way to either stay in aviation or keep your finger on the pulse in aviation and do something in the short term to get by.
And patient. Like we got to be patient, but we got to be proactive at the same time. Like I'll tell you one quick networking story that was like transformative for me. And then maybe you can think of one to share as well. So I was in grade 12 and I was looking for my summer job before going to university to start my commercial multi-IFR training. And I had sent out resumes to like every airline at YVR to look for a summer job. And one of them was Air North, I'll just say it right now. And they're a phenomenal company.
Yeah.
Everybody that was there when I was there or joined since has never left. So that says something. But they were opening their Vancouver base. And so I'd sent a resume in and like, you can't make this stuff up. I'm in a school bus going to like some sports game that, I was playing in. And I had like my first cell phone. It was one of these like Nokia ones where you play Snake or whatever, like green and black screen. And the phone rings and I'm the grade 12 student in the back of the school bus filled with like grade like 11, 10, 9, 8 students. And I see this number. I answer like, hello, Ryan speaking. And they go, hi, it's Tammy and Sonia from Air North. I'm like, holy shit. And I just like, hey, everyone, shut up or you're dead. Like just quiet. Right?
Yeah.
And so they go, hey, so we'd like to do a telephone interview with you. And I'm like, when? They're like, right now. And I'm like, oh, okay. Yeah. And if you're successful, sorry, this is kind of last minute. We need you on a plane to Whitehorse tomorrow to do a week of training, or company indoctrination training to open up the space. I'm like, okay. So anyway, I do this interview and I ended up, getting the job there on the spot. And I ended up calling my mom and dad being like, hey, I'm going to Whitehorse tomorrow. They're like, what? And they knew what I was always going to do and what I had to do. And they're like, okay, yeah, whatever, go. So this is towards the end of grade 12, like a couple of weeks before provincial exams. And I go to Whitehorse and 2 days into training at Whitehorse, we fill out all the like employment documents. And I remember Tammy coming to me and going, we need to have a chat. And I'm like, okay. And she goes, so high school. I'm like, yeah. She goes, you're still in it. I go, yeah. Should you not be in school right now? Because it's like Wednesday.
Yeah.
I'm like, yeah. She goes, okay, well, pack up your stuff. You're on the next flight back to Vancouver. You need to get back to school. I said, no, don't do that. I said, here, let's make a deal. I said, let me finish the training. Do not put me on the schedule, starting next week. Keep me off the schedule for a month and I will show you my provincial exam marks. And if I don't meet X number percent, average, then fire me.
Yeah.
And if my grades are good enough, then you keep me. And she goes, fair enough. Right. So I didn't get sent home. I got to finish training and I spent 3 years working there, all through university.
Yeah.
And after 3 years, I remember they said to me, it's been a great 3 years, but it's going to be another 3 years before you see the inside of an airplane. Because at the time they had the Beech 99, the Hawker 748s. I was trying to get into the 99 or the Hawker, but they said, yeah, it's been three. It's going to be another three. And I was just like, you know what? This is great, but I'm not that patient.
Yeah.
And I gave my notice. And at that time, Calgary was the place to go. Go to Alberta. So I packed up, I gave my notice on my last day, I'm finishing my shift and I've got my truck packed in the parking lot with like everything I own. I finished my last shift and I'm like, I need to go get something to eat. And I had no job, no place to live, nothing lined up in Calgary. All I knew is that's where you go to find a flying job. And I'm in the lineup at A&W and there's two pilots in front of me and you never pass up a networking opportunity.
Yep.
And they had their backs to me and one of them kind of turned and I said, oh, hey, where are you based? That was my pickup line, right? It's like, networking is like dating. Where are you based? And he turns around, he goes, Calgary, you ever been? And I go, actually, I'm moving there like today. He goes, looks at me, you know, I'm young, where am I, Air North? You know, let me guess, looking for a flying job? I go, yeah. And he goes, do you have a place to live? I go, nope. He goes, I got a basement, $350 a month. You just got to look after my dog when I'm on the road. I said, I'll see you tomorrow. And I moved to Calgary. I moved straight into his basement. And the very next day I went to the Hyatt Hotel where I got a job busing tables for the morning breakfast buffet at the Hyatt Hotel downtown Calgary.
Yeah.
And that was the start. And then every day after work, I would go to the airport and I would go door to door to door handing out resumes and just trying to get past the dragon lady. And it was like dating. Like you got to try 10 times to maybe get by once. And anyway, the rest is kind of history and there's more to the story, but that was kind of the crazy networking story for me was one, having an interview in the back of a school bus, and two, meeting Murray in the A&W lineup and having a place to live the next day. But you don't know if you don't start the conversation.
Exactly. It's all about networking and talking with guys and striking up a relationship. Cause like you've gotten jobs just by knowing a guy at the pub, hanging out with the guys. I'll give you a brief one for me and then we'll probably wind up here. But, I had a job doing bird count up in Yellowknife. And I left West Coast Air. I was pumping the floats there and a baggage guy. I was promised a job there and a plane had an accident. So they ended up telling all the guys it was going to be another 2 years. So I got a job over the phone. It was going to go up to Yellowknife. So I took my mom with me, my little Honda Civic. Mom came with me, went up there, showed up at the guy's door. And I had phoned this guy numerous times because I had a feeling. And he said, no, we're good. It's all signed. So it took me a couple of days to drive up there and showed up and the contract fell through. So at that time, Yellowknife was extremely expensive to live. It wasn't too cold yet. So I ended up staying. My mom flew home on a plane and my mom said, well, what are you going to do? And I says, I'll find a job. There's lots of companies up here. And I ended up getting a job at First Air, loading bags, ramp guy. But I had no money in my pocket. I couldn't afford rent. And I ended up sleeping in my car. It was almost for 3 months. And I would park in the YMCA parking lot at night. And at 5 o'clock in the morning, I'd get up. I'd go work out in the morning. I'd have a shower and I'd be at work at 6 o'clock. And I was just eating food from pre-made food from the store. And then luckily,
craft his crew, dinner.
Exactly. Luckily, as crew on the plane, we get lunch fed to us. So I ate a lot of Kraft dinner. I ate a lot of hard-boiled eggs. And I ended up luckily stuck it out and came back and got a job in Vancouver. But it's a completely different mindset right now prior to COVID where people were getting jobs right out of the gate. But you and I were forced to network. And I think as we discussed earlier, it's a bit of a lost art. And people I think are going to need to start learning how to build relationships with people and just talking again. And we've lost that art because of cell phones. And unfortunately, it's not just in aviation, it's everywhere. So I think that's a little tidbit for everyone that's going to listen to this podcast that's in a situation where they're looking for a job is get out there, start networking and start talking to people and build some relationships. Because I would rather hire someone that I've met that's walked in my office and made an effort than someone who's just sent a resume in and I don't know them.
Totally. And I think there's two other things that go along with that, that I think will tie this up nicely. And that is getting a flying job in a market like this, where now supply outweighs demand is a competitive thing.
Yeah, I agree.
But don't forget that the people that you're competing with are also the people that will be your coworkers and your colleagues. So you want to work with them because the health of the whole pool is good for you.
Yeah.
Don't try and advance yourself at the expense of someone else. If somebody else gets the job, you know what? Congratulate them. Be happy for them. Build that relationship with them. Because there's the old saying that, you know, watch the asses that you kick on the way up because you'll need to kiss them on the way down.
Yep.
And this is really funny because I hold no grudges. I'm too old for that now. I've been around too long, but oh, and we started flightcrew.ca a week ago. There's a couple hundred resumes in the stack there now, and we're hoping to pair those candidates up with operators. And I'm scanning down that list of names, and there are a few names in there that were people that I flew next to as a junior FO 15, 20 years ago that treated me like absolute shit.
And that's the thing. That's actually a topic for another podcast, how you treat the people you fly with, because what comes around goes around. And I'll have a funny story. We'll leave names out, but I just want to show people, and that's what you've said, is you, and it's interpersonal skills. You got to get along with everyone. Right. There's more than one way to fly a plane. There's more than one way to skin a cat. But you have to realize that as long as people are flying within the parameters and they're safe, let people do their thing. You know what I mean? And here's something I've learned a long time ago. You're always learning. I learned when I started flying. I fly with the same two guys on a large jet right now, and we all have our idiosyncrasies. But I know that I learn from them all the time, and they learn from me, and we laugh about it. And now there's a new crew, so I'm going to learn from them. They're going to learn from me. So it's give and take back and forth. So you just have to keep an open mind. And you know what? This is one of the best jobs anyone could ever have if you love flying. And that's why you and I are passionate about this. And that's why we started flightcrew.ca, because we genuinely want to help guys out and gals that are looking for a job. And if you go through the website and have a look at the reason of why we want to help everyone out, is we want to help the market out and help airlines and corporate give them exactly what they're looking for. So that's why you got to go on there and update your resumes. You got to upload your times on there, make sure you got all your type ratings on, and then extracurricular stuff that you're doing while you're waiting to get a job. Keep us informed as to what you're doing. That'll be key. And if you're actively updating your resumes and we see that you're doing that, because we'll get updates, then we know that you're serious. You're not just throwing it in once and leaving it alone.
And that's I think an important thing just to touch on is that if you put your resume up there, we're not playing judge and jury on your experience. We are taking the data that you put in there, and based on the operator's request, they're getting a list of the people that meet their criteria. And we're not just going to send your information. If you put your information there and you meet the criteria of the operator, you will be contacted first, and we will ask you before we share anything. And there truly is no ulterior motive here, other than Owen and I both have been through an industry downturn. And I think we both wish that something like this might have been there. But more than anything is we've kind of been where a lot of other people are right now. And we're both employed. I'm not looking for a job. Owen's not looking for a job.
No.
We're very fortunate for that, but in giving back to an industry that has given us so much, I think we just want to help other people hopefully find their way and to keep their passion. And above all else, no matter how crappy things get, just try and have fun with it, because it's definitely a marathon. It's not a sprint.
Exactly. Yeah. You said it all.
Cool. All right, Owen. Well, thank you. I know it's we're going on 10 o'clock here, and it was kind of light out when we started talking. Now it's dark, but thank you so much for your time. I'd like to do another one of these at some point. Maybe we'll talk resumes a little bit.
Yep, that'll be perfect. We got a couple other topics we can talk about, but I think resumes will be your next one. Should be perfect.
Awesome, Owen. Thank you so much. Great. I really appreciate
Thanks,
it.
Thanks, Ryan. Appreciate it.
All right, everyone. I hope you enjoyed the conversation with Owen today on networking. We started with networking on this series of podcast about pilot jobs because it really is the most important thing, and it is the foundation of everything. It is more important than the number of hours in your logbook. It is what is going to get you in the door, and quite honestly, it's a bit of a lost art, especially in the last several years where it hasn't been as important. But as things get more difficult in our industry, networking becomes that much more important, and it truly is an art, and it does take time to nurture relationships, to develop relationships. And it's really important to remember that the best time to start networking is actually when you're up, and you want to help people that are down, because at some point those roles will be reversed, and the people that you helped when they were down hopefully will return the favor when you need some help, especially in this business. And we are all in this together, and we do need to help one another out, whether it's competitive or not. All right. If you haven't already, be sure to check out our podcast page or our website, www.cardinalaviation.ca. The podcast, add a /podcast to that. On there, there's a button. There's a couple buttons, actually. There's the Cardinal Aviation store. We've got some awesome gear, some hoodies, t-shirts, hats. I just ordered them the other day. I should have them here in a week or so. And there's also the support the podcast or buy me a coffee button. And if you want to become a Cardinal Aviation podcast supporter or annual supporter, go ahead, hit that button. And we really appreciate your contributions towards continuing to put out this content, to continuing help people transform the way they fly, find a job, whatever it may be. We're here for no other reason really than to help you. While you're on the computer there, be sure to follow us on Instagram at Cardinal Aviation and subscribe to this podcast on Spotify or Apple iTunes. Until next time, fly safely, never stop learning.